All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this time together. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would be with us. Lord, that you would minister to us. Lord, that you would indeed, Lord God, continue to work in our hearts, Lord God. Lord, that we might be, Lord God, able ministers, able instruments of your honor and your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I was debating what to share with you. I was trying to make sure that I haven't taught this class yet before. Hindi pa ba? Hindi pa ako nagturo sa batch na to? Hindi ba? Okay. Kasi kung hindi, uulitin ko lang yung tinuro ko before. So, round two. Anyway. All right. But thinking what to share with you guys. And we'll talk about Luke chapter 15. Everybody of you know the story, the parable of the lost son. Or the parable of the prodigal son, and we'll talk about it. Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11. We'll read it. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. Not long after all he had, he set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing, and so he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf and for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Interesting. Story we all know. I'm sure we preached from it, and I'm sure we've heard different ways to minister through this to this story. But as we talk about that, just give you a story also, my own story. Around high school, my father bought a watch. So around high school, I saw my father wearing this watch. When I got into college, my father gave it to me. So this was a watch that was bought around 1976, 77. So when I got to college around 1982, it was given to me. And I wore that watch for quite some time, till I think I had 4 children. So that was around 2000, I think the year 2000. So it's a watch that's been with the family for so long. Then after that, somebody blessed me with another watch. And I gave that watch away. And what happened was, I think my father asked me one time where the watch was, and I told him I gave it away. I just seeing what the expression in his face told me everything. Mali talaga yung ginawa mo. But anyway, so after seeing my father's face, I tried to trace the watch, tried to look for it where it was, and the person I gave my watch to couldn't remember where it was. Then about 2 years later, he gets back to me. Jure, I saw the watch. It's with my cousin. I think I gave it to him, but it's not working anymore. So I said, can I still have it? So we were talking about it, and I exchanged it with I told my friend, sige, can I have my dad's watch, even if it's not working? I'll exchange it. I had at that time, I had a 6-month-old Swatch Irony, which I bought for $6,500. So I said, wala pang 1 year, I'll exchange that broken watch for this watch. So finally, around 2005, I finally got the watch again. But definitely not working. And broken. Yung mga strap niya, sira-sira na. So I started going around trying to look for somebody to repair it. Couldn't find someone. Then finally, I decided to go to the service center. So I went to the Omega Service Center in Glorieta. So I walked in. I said, sir, can I have this repaired? So he said, sige, sir. So they got the watch. They brought it in to the technician. Then they came out with the estimate. So I said, how much? He said, 45,000. So I said, can you tell me what you're going to do with the watch? So they said, practically, after they told me what they were going to do with it, they were going to change everything except the case and the bracelet. So sabi ko, that defeats the purpose of why I want to have the watch restored. So ang maiwan lang yung face, yung case, tsaka yung strap. Everything else will be new. So I said, never mind. I'll try to look for somebody else. So another year or so, trying. Every time I see a watch guy, I ask, do you repair these types of watch? And finally, the guy says, Then I finally found somebody, and he said, oh, let me see it. So I went to this guy, and he looked at me, he opened the watch, and pinakita niya, sir, ito yung problema, nakadikit-dikit na lahat. So yeah, siguro sir, nangyari nito, nilangoy ito yung relo, pumasok yung tubig, tapos hindi na palinisan, iniwan na lang. So dumikit-dikit na lahat. So I said, okay. Sabi ko, kaya mo gawin yan? Kaya mo ba gawin yan? Sabi niya, sir, wag mo lang ako madaliin, kaya ko to. Sabi ko, pag sinabi mo wag ka madaliin, mga gaano katagal? So yes, sir, mga isang buwan, kaya ko to. So sabi ko, sige. So I asked him, magkano yan? How much have it fixed? He looked at me, he looked at the watch. Sir, kasi Omega kasi to, medyo mahal. Sabi ko, magkano? Sabi niya, 3,500. So, sinabi niya, 3,500. Tumahimik na lang ako, di ba? From 45,000 to 3,500. Nakahanap ka ng 3,500. So, sabi ko, sige, game. Gawin natin. So, ginawa niya. So, every week, I would drop by the watch guy. Tapos, he would show me what he's doing. Nilubog niya talaga sa chemicals. Kinuha na lahat yung makina, tapos nilubog niya talaga. Tapos sabi niya, sir, hindi ko tinatanggal to hanggang pa isa-isa. So, sir, after 1 week, sir, lumalambot na. After another week, sir, natanggal ko na to. Ito na lang sunod. So, dikit-dikit na kasi yung parts ng relo. So, pa isa-isa niya tinatanggal. Tapos sabi, finally, after mga 3 weeks na ata, Sabi niya, sir, ito na lang. Pag may nahanap akong screw na to, sisirain ko na lang to. Pero pag wala tayong mahanap, pagtsatsagaan natin to. So, umabot ata ng close to 2 months. Tapos nung finally, as we went along, he started telling me, sabi niya, sir, kailangan natin magpalit ng parts. So lumabas ata mga 4-7. 4-7 to 5,000 to have the watch fixed. But when the watch was already fixed, I get to use it every so often. When my dad saw it, okay na, wala na, ano, it was worth everything. So every so often, I still get to use the watch. And ano talaga, it really looks old. I was asking kung papa-reface ko. Sabi nila, mawawala yung value pag pina-reface mo. If you have it refaced, make sure you want to keep it. Kasi the value, it will devalue once you have it refaced. So hanggang ngayon, hindi pa na-reface. I get to wear it every so often. And sometimes you wonder, I'm sharing this with you because the question I want to throw to us is, or the reality that we do or we live by many times is, everything we do is based out of a concept of value. Why do we do things and how we do things and the extent we take to get to do things is really based out of a concept of value. What you don't value, you won't bother with. But what you value, you will give everything with, everything towards, whatever it takes. That's why I realize this when people say, tell you, oh sorry talaga, gusto ko naman talaga pumunta pero talagang hindi pwede. Then it just, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but it shows you their concept of value. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that where you were expecting him to show up was not as valuable as something else to him. Ganun lang naman talaga yung tao. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong, but in other words, it shows you what you're facing. Whatever it is, it's really a concept of value. Why was I willing to exchange a less than 1-year-old, completely working, new-looking Swatch Irony for a watch that did not work and cost me $5,000 to have repaired? Why was I willing to exchange it? Because the value was very high for me. It was my dad's watch that he gave to me. So the value went beyond the actual pesos. As I talk about that, the scripture we read here, the prodigal son, if you read the story before that, it's actually a dissertation on values. It's actually, Jesus is challenged by the Pharisees and they were challenging his values. And Jesus responded by showing him what was valuable to him. So, ano to? Clash of values to. Challenge ng Pharisees sa kanya, why are you spending time with sinners? Bakit ang kasama mo mga masasamang tao? And Jesus' response was not to prove he was right or wrong. His response was, he showed them what was valuable to him. Kasi you can be right, but if people don't value what's right to you, people won't follow you. At the end of the day, ganun lang naman talaga yun. If you cannot give people what, if you cannot show people or if you cannot convince them that what you offer them is valuable, they won't follow you no matter what. So ito si Jesus, sinalage ng mga Pharisees. Bakit ganyan ka? Bakit sila kasama mo? Bakit ito ginagawa mo? Sinagot niya, showing them their value. The first story that he answers to them is the story of the lost sheep, di ba? He said the highlight verse is in verse 5, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, when you look at the story, weird, di ba? If you were a businessman, crazy. You had 99, buo na, safe na, nasa'yo na, may nawala na isa, iniwan mo yung 99 para mahanap mo yung isa. In other words, you put in danger the 99 so that you can look for one that strayed away. Na hindi ka naman guaranteed kung patay na yon, hindi ka naman guaranteed kung bakit nawala yun, baka lumpo na yon, mamamatay na rin naman. But he just shows you this story. And it's an answer on what's valuable. One is extremely valuable. To a businessman, walang value. But Jesus was showing them, I'm not a businessman, I'm a shepherd. To the shepherd, one is extremely valuable. Tapos hindi lang yun. Hinanap niya, iniwan niya yung 99 to look for the one. Finally, nung nakita niya yung one, he calls all his friends, tara, mag-celebrate tayo. Nahanap ko yung nawawala. If you think about it, I'm sure hindi lang nawala to a few minutes. Hindi lang to nawala ng a few hours. Medyo nawala talaga to kasi nagpa-party siya. So, I'm just thinking, siguro one day, 2 days. Siguro pagbalik niya, binilang niya, uy, may kulang. The effort he had to go to through this, tapos he finally finds the one and he throws a party. When you think about it, baka mas malaki pa yung ginastos niya sa party. Kaysa kung pinabayaan niya na lang yung isa. It's a concept of value. One is extremely important. One lost sheep has incredible value. The second story is the lost coin. So the woman loses one coin. The highlight verse is verse 9. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Again, values challenge naman. Pinapakita na, this woman had 10 coins. Apparently, these 10 coins had extreme value. Kasi nung nawala ang isa, hindi na kompleto yung araw niya. Nung nawala ang isa, it was no longer as valuable as when the 10 was there. So hinanap niya. Again, hindi nawala to, basta-basta na lang nawala. Tapos sandali lang, nagwalis-walis lang siya, nakita niya. I can imagine what she had, try to imagine what she had to go through to look for this one. Again, one is extremely valuable. Tapos, nag-rejoice din siya, called her friends. Again, baka mas malaki pa yung nagastos niya sa celebration nila kaysa value ng isang coin niya. Some conclusions as we talk about value. Value is set by the appraiser or the owner, not the recipient. How many of you get to watch the show Pickers? I like watching that show. Kasi one is they discover old things, which I like. The other one is, they're actually haggling. They're actually fighting for value. Diba? This is, I'll give you $50. The guy says, no, that's too little. So they're trying to push the value, trying to find out the value. But in the end, who decides what the real value is? It's the owner. Because it's, in the end, it's really the owner who's willing to let go or not go. The appraiser can say, sa totoo lang, ang market value yan, di ba? Narinig mo yun eh. I'll get that to you for 500, I can only sell that for 800, I won't make money. And it's gonna stay long in my store, and ganito. In the end, it's the owner says, no. If you want it, it's this. So value is assessed or dictated by the owner of the, or not by the recipient. Now, again, talking about values, there's many things that determine value. Okay. When you have things, materials can determine value. Gold, silver, gold more is more valuable than silver. There's other materials that are more valuable. I got a phone call from Winston. He just had this brought through Jason, and he's sending me two watches to look at. And it's interesting, the phone calls and the text messages that I got. He's explaining to me why it's valuable. I don't know what year this is. I'm going to have it checked. But he says it's 22 carat plated. Though. So I'm going to have that checked. Because materials make a difference. There's another one. It's studded with diamonds. So I have to check kung puwet ng baso yan. Tsaka kung anong baso yan. O diamond talaga. Sabi, text message, sabi, grabe to si Winston. Kulit. Bro, ganito yan. Pinauri ko, urig daw. Tapos mamaya may text. Bro, hindi pala urig, bro. Tapos magte-text, hindi bro, urig pala. Sabi niya, padala ko, tingnan mo. Sabi ko, sige, titingnan lang naman. Sige, padala mo, tingnan natin. But it's, materials make a difference. Gold, silver. Another thing that determines value is work. The amount of work given to a certain thing can determine value. New technology. The problem with new technology, 6 months later, it's old technology. It's no longer valuable. So the amount of work, more valuable. Less work, less valuable. More human resource put into it, more valuable. Less human resource needed, less valuable. So the work and can determine value. And the third thing that can determine value, and this is really interesting, is actually people can determine value. It's interesting in our world, the type of people that value something can push the value. That's why it's interesting, land in Fort Bonifacio is more expensive than land somewhere in Mindanao out in the mountains. Lupa lang naman yan eh. Di ba? Pag iniwanan mo yan, damo rin naman tutubo dyan. Pag iniwan mo yan, wala rin ka makukuha dyan. Pero, ang lupa dito, mas mahal kaysa lupa doon. Why? Because it's also determined by the people who value it. Those are some of the interesting things about value. I began to realize a few things about value. Value is not necessarily logical. It is more or less more relational than logical. Your value was set by someone, not by you. No matter how much you say this, no matter how much you dictate your value, in the end, you really cannot dictate your value because somebody else will dictate your value. You can say, I think I shared this in the Baliwag Church when I was preaching there. You can say, I'm the best typewriter mechanic in the world. Nobody comes close to me. You give me any typewriter, I can fix it, I can make it better. Question is it still valuable today? You can dictate your value, but in the end, the reality is others will really determine kung valuable ka o hindi. So tinutulak mo, minsan tinutulak mo sarili mo, hindi, magaling ako. Sino nagsabi? Sabi ng nanay ko, gwapo daw ako. Di ba? Now, your value is set by someone else, not by you. That's why it's important, those of you who are married here, that you make sure your wives know their value. That it is clear to them how valuable they are to you. Don't let anyone else dictate what their value is. Because if they cannot get the real worth from you, somebody else will tell them what they're worth. That's why there's so many women try to become like the world because the world tells them what they're valuable or when they're valuable. But you can make all the difference in their lives by being very clear, never vague, about how valuable they are to you. You cannot earn your value. You cannot work for it. Now, obviously, in terms of skills in work, you can. But your real worth, nobody can dictate it. Now, we talk about, let's go back to the values. Materials, work, people. Think about this. When God created you, there is no material that can equal what God used to create you. There is no work, no genius in the world who can come close to equaling the work, the wisdom, and the technology that God used to create you. In terms of people valuing you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one who set your value. Don't ever let anyone else set your value. Don't let your work set your value. Don't let the size of your church set your value. Don't let your influence set your value. Don't let other people dictate who your value, because God already set your value. In fact, I realize this. Every time we allow other things to set our value. When I say other things, it could be money, it could be position, it could be fame, it could be authority, it could be anything else. Every time we allow other things to set our value, we actually devalue ourselves. Because when you really come to think about it, friends, only Christ could have paid how much you were worth. Nobody else could afford to pay what your real value was. Only Christ's death on the cross was enough. In other words, every time you allow other things to set your value, you have allowed yourself, which is in reality priceless, and you have allowed somebody else or something else to determine how much you're worth, no matter how big that is. And so many of the people around the world are like that. They're saying, one more promotion, okay na ako. Taasan mo lang sweldo ko, okay na ako. Taasan mo, itong opportunity lang na to, okay na to. Now please, I'm not saying never desire for a raise again. I'm not saying that. I hope you do. But don't attach your value to it. I hope we all dream and believe, God, that we can be great influencers in our nation, in our cities, in our barangay, in our churches. I hope we dream that, because that's a gift that God has given us. But don't attach your value to it. Just because somebody is greater influence than you, it doesn't mean he is more valuable than you are. Because what you produce with your own strength does not determine value. So we started saying that this is a clash of values. Jesus is answering the Pharisees about his value. So the first story was the lost sheep. The second story was the lost coin. The third story now is the parable of the lost son. So that's what we're going to look at. Okay? So forgive me for a long introduction. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. The younger son went to the father, says, 'Give me my share.' The interesting thing is, the father obliged. No? The younger son couldn't wait for his share. And weird, the father said, 'Okay, here it is. divided everything, gave him. Then verse 13, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Now, here, so the son gets all his wealth, and the Bible says he squanders it in wild living. Can you imagine the embarrassment to the family? This son basically destroyed and went against everything they have stood for as a family. Every conviction they had as a family, this son just totally destroyed, threw out the window. So this was a very, this was a strong family. They had their own convictions, they had their own morals, they had their things that they stood for. And this son goes and he destroys everything. Not only does he destroy their name, eventually he loses everything. He doesn't make it bigger, he loses everything. Everything the family considers important, convictions and belief, this son threw out the window. He ended up working in the pig pen for some. Think about this. Jesus is talking to a group of people that in their minds, pigs are unclean. So you couldn't get worse than this. For somebody who considered pigs unclean, now you're serving pigs. And I don't know about you. I don't know how hungry you have been. But to look at what the pigs are eating and wishing you could eat some of it. I haven't been there yet. Have you? Pag-iisip mo, grabe. What? Ano klaseng sitwasyon to? One, it's already unclean. It's not right in your whole concept of right things and wrong things. It's not right to eat pigs. Now you're serving them. It's not right to eat pigs. Now you're wishing what they eat you can eat. Can you imagine the embarrassment on the family? Could you imagine somebody visit the father? Oh, yung anak mo nakita ko. And the father says, oh no, ito na naman. At saan mo nakita yung anak ko? Andun yung anak mo. Ano nakita ko sa ano? Sa bar, ganito. May mga ano, parang, yung mga babae, parang kurtina sa likod niya. Ah, yung anak mo, ganito. Can you imagine the embarrassment? Or another friend show up in the father's house, says, uy, pare, ano nangyari sa anak mo? And the father say, oh, okay, eto na naman. Ah, bakit to? Ano nangyari sa anak mo? Eh, nakita ko yung anak mo. Mga kasama, mga baboy. Yung barkada niya, puro baboy, di ba? Imagine the embarrassment. Can you imagine the family gatherings? And they start talking about their children. You've been into family gatherings, di ba? Ay, yung anak ko, ganito. Yung anak ko, ganito. Eh, pare, ikaw, yung anak mo. Pare, kamusta yung mga anak mo? Yung nagtatay, change topic. Yung isang anak ko, okay na okay. Yung isang anak ko, change topic. All this going on. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Desperation can be good. Desperation is not faith. Desperation is not godly. It's neutral. But desperation hopefully can lead you to faith. Hopefully desperation can lead you to prayer. Hopefully desperation can lead you back to God. And here, desperation led him back to his senses. The solution was beyond him. He realized that he got to a place where he couldn't do anything anymore. And it was only a miracle by the Father who could take him out. And he said, he started thinking, how many of my father's hired men have a better life than I do? And then he starts thinking, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. I have destroyed my father's name. I've lost everything. But maybe he will accept me as one of his hired men. Then he begins thinking, should I go back? How should I go back? And he begins, I can imagine him rehearsing the lines in his head. And when we were all growing up, di ba, may alam mo, may ginawa kang hindi tama, tapos magkakaharap na kayo ng father mo, di ba? Iniisip mo, paano ko ba sasabihin? Dad, hindi ko naman talaga kasalanan. Siya yun eh. Naipit lang ako, parang lahat na nire-rehearse mo. So I could imagine this son rehearsing the lines. How should I face my father? Should I kneel down? Should I grab his foot? Should I act? What voice? Do I cry first? Do I shout? Do I? So he's rehearsing, Father, I am no longer worthy to be your son. And I could imagine on the way back there, it's all running in his head, how do I do this? And I can imagine him with fear walking back home. And he says, no, let me go there. And then he stops in the middle. No, baka bugbugin lang ako. Baka ano pang iharap ko? Di bali na, babalik na lang siya. Tapos all of a sudden, hindi, ito na lang talaga hope ko. Wala na akong ibang mapuputahan. Then he goes back again and he's rehearsing his lines all over again. Can you imagine what's been happening as this son begins to go back to his father? Then the verse says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. You know that line, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Iniisip ko yun eh. Coincidence ba yun? Nagkataon lang ba yun na palabas yung father sa bahay, may matatawid, pupunta kung saan, tapos pagtingin niya, andun yung son niya? Or was the father there every day, every chance he had, waiting for his son? And while he was waiting, if he was there all the time waiting for his son, could you imagine what was going on to the father's head or mind? That he's there waiting. Then all of a sudden, from a distance, there's somebody that's coming. Inside him, his heart is pumping. Is this my son? Is this my son? Lord, let this be my son. Tapos, kaibigan ko lang pala. How many times did he have to go through that? Another next opportunity. Kasi this wasn't just overnight. Just the whole story of this, if you look at the sheep and look at the coins, This was a major task to wait for. Because didn't it just get lost for a few days? Major to na nawala. So another time he's there, he's standing, ito na naman, anak ko ba to? Is this my son? And ano na pala, kapatid ko, o pinsan ko. How many times was he sees his heart getting wrenched and ripped apart every time he looks out there and trying to think, is this my son? The father was waiting. Think about this. The father was waiting in the midst of the worst his son has ever been. The father was not waiting for his son in the midst of where what he was doing. I remember our eldest son, si TJ, when he was in high school, he got a chance to compete in robotics and work with the robotics team from Philippine Science to compete in Hawaii. So they represented the Philippines and they competed there. On the way out, You could see all the parents bringing the kids. Mga parents nagkakantsawan sa airport kasi alis na yung mga anak nila. On the way home, nung padating na si TJ, may konting news ka na, pero hindi naman complete. So, doon kami sa airport, nagtitingnan kami mga parents, nagkakantsawan na, hindi mo na ka, tagal, no? Mga, ganyan, no? Tapos, pag nakita mo na sa board na nag-land na yung aeroplano, naghihintay kayo, yan na ba yan? Lalabas na ba yan? And this was a joyful homecoming because we knew our son was coming back. He had just competed. We were so proud of him. But this is a different story. This is a son who's become a black sheep. This is a son who's a rebel. This is a son who's embarrassed everyone. This is a son who, in movies today, people will disown. But he's there waiting. At the worst that his son has ever been on or could ever be. Then the Bible says that the father, when his son finally, when he was sure it was his son, he ran to him. Now, I'm not an expert in culture, but some people said that, this was an embarrassing for a father of that stature to do, because to do this, he had to lift his robe to run. And in their culture, somebody of this stature never shows their knees. And the word here, ran, hindi lang siya nag-jogging kagaya ni Pastor Fergie. Ito, nagwala talaga. Inakyat yung robe, tapos nagwala with all of his might to run to his son. And he embraced his son. What does this say? The son's value did not change at the point of his worst. The son's value did not change at the point of his worst. Wow. Hindi nagbago yung value ng anak niya. Even when he was a cause of embarrassment, even when he was a cause of loss for their property, even when he became a rebel, his value did not change. Diba, title ng parable na to, famous parable, is the parable of the prodigal son. Pero may nagtanong, sino ba talagang prodigal dito? So he looked at the word, what does prodigal mean? Ito, some definitions for the word prodigal. One who spends or gives lavishly. Recklessly extravagant. Can you imagine that? Was that the son? Or was that the father? Ito lang yung alam natin na definition ng prodigal. Wasteful extravagance. Yun, alam natin yun. Pero hindi natin alam na yung prodigal pala, recklessly extravagant. One who spends or gives lavishly. So the real question is, who's the prodigal son? Who's the real prodigal here? Was it the father or was it the son? I put it this way, the younger son's wasteful extravagance met an end. May dulo eh, kasi naubos eh. Yung extravagance niya, yung wastefulness niya, dumating sa dulo kasi wala na, ubos na lahat eh. But the father's extravagant love was limitless. Yun ang walang dulo. Yun ang walang limit. Yun yung walang end. Now, when we think about our lives, how prodigal were we? Now, obviously, dahil tao tayo dito, iba-iba tayo tao dito, some were more prodigal than the others. Some of us here, nung na-born again tayo, bumaba yung crime rate sa city natin. For some of us here, they closed down Pidea in your city when you got born again. Hindi na kailangan. Tapos na. For some of us here, baka good boy yung image natin. But the truth of the matter is, we were just as prodigal as anybody else. But our prodigality, if there's such a word, di ba? Umabot sa isang dulo. But the love of God was always limitless. That's why somebody said, this is actually the parable of the prodigal father. You can say that the younger son's sinful extravagance was confronted with the father's extravagant love. How did the father confront his son's reckless extravagance or wasteful extravagance or sinful extravagance? How did God confront our sin? He didn't confront it with anger. He didn't confront it with hate. He didn't confront it with legalism. He confronted it with his prodigal love. Another way to look at it is this way. Scripture says, though we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. See, I realize this. You can read the Bible as a story of man's unfaithfulness. Cycle yun, di ba? Pag binasa mo yung Bible, God shows up, God blesses man, man is thankful, man wants to live for God. After a few years later, man begins to rebel against God, di ba? Man turns his back against God, judgment comes, man gets into trouble, and man starts crying out to God. God relents, God shows up, God forgives, and God restores. Then man, again, after a while, starts rebelling against God. So it's a story of man's continuous unfaithfulness. His cycle of unfaithfulness. On the other hand, you can also read the scripture on God's side. God's continued faithfulness. That never ends. In fact, I realize this. God confronted our unfaithfulness with His faithfulness. Buti na lang, hindi si Lord umabot sa punto na sabi, sawa na ako. Bahala kayo sa buhay niyo. Diba, siguro naman, all of us have gotten to a place na galit tayo. Na inis tayo. Sinasabihan tayo ng mga tao, ang bait mo kasi. So dahil mabait ka, napagsamantalahan ka, di ba? Paulit-ulit. You got so ticked off, so mad that one day, sinasabi mo sa sarili mo, kaya ko na maging demonyo eh. Ever been in that place? Kung demonyo ka, kaya ko rin naman yan eh. O talagang mga santo itong mga kausap ko dito. Parang nasya-shock kayo ah. Have you ever been in that place? Aren't you glad God's not like that? That despite everything, God confronted our unfaithfulness with His faithfulness. That's our very own story. All right, we'll take a break there.